I think all of us at one time or another have watched on TV one of these courtroom dramas. You know, one of these things that happen in the courtroom. And we have all the cast of characters that are in the courtroom there. You see, there's the judge, right, trying to be impartial. There's the prosecutor and the defense attorney. And depending on which show you watch, if it's Law and Order, usually the prosecutor wins. Perry Mason never lost a case as a defense attorney. And there are the jury and the jury selection process and all of these things. I guess for non-lawyers, they're interesting. For lawyers, they're probably boring. But then there are the witnesses, and there needs to be good and credible witnesses to make a case in one direction or another. It's almost as important as the physical evidence. If you have an eyewitness or a good, credible witness to tell their story. And I wondered what made a good witness. So I went on, believe it or not, lawyers.com. There is a website like that. And I asked it, you know, what makes a good witness? And they wrote several things about a witness that makes them good witnesses, and here's a few of them. Does the witness have a personal or financial interest in the case? It's a good question. Is the testimony they give clear, consistent, and convincing? That makes for a good witness. Do the witnesses have a reputation for being honest and trustworthy? That's also a good question, and all of these things help to determine whether or not they are a good witness. Today, we hear a lot about witness and witnessing of Christ and his resurrection. In the gospel reading today, Jesus appears in the midst of the disciples, and they're incredulous and scared and all the things that you and I would feel if a dead man came back to life. What's going on, right? And so they saw everything that Jesus said and did throughout his 3 years of public ministry. Ever since they became apostles, they witnessed all the things that Jesus did. And they witnessed and heard all of the teachings that Jesus gave. So when he appears in the midst of them and then reassures them that he's not a ghost, then he opens for them the scriptures. Best Bible study ever, when Jesus is explaining the scriptures and how they apply to him. And the disciples are finally starting to get it, because you remember, before Jesus' resurrection, they didn't have it figured out at all, not even through the whole crucifixion. They didn't understand any of it. But Jesus starts to open their eyes, and they're able to start to connect the dots in this resurrection account. So they saw everything. Now it's their job to give testimony. They are to give witness to what they saw and heard to the whole world. That starts in a privileged way with the Gospels being traced back to the apostles and their teachings, and everything that we read in there is given to us by credible witnesses, credible gospel writers. Do they have a personal or financial interest in the case? No. They just want to bring souls to Christ. Is their testimony clear and consistent? It is. The Gospels are very consistent one with another, unless you get fussy about times and the order of things. The teachings are very similar in all four Gospels. Do the witnesses have a reputation for being honest and trustworthy? Well, again, that cross-check between the Gospels. It must be true because they've all said similar things. But not only the Gospels that we draw upon to understand the faith as a good witness of what Jesus did, but also the witnessing that we learn about the apostles doing in the early church in these readings from the Acts of the Apostles. So it's not that long ago that Jesus was crucified and died. He rose up, and the apostles saw that. And so now it comes time for them to witness to others, now a verb, not a noun, to witness what they saw and what the teachings were. And so were they, when they were sharing with their brothers in Jerusalem, right here, right after Pentecost, what they were saying, were they good witnesses about it? Did they have a personal or financial interest in the case? Well, if this witnessing that they did to their fellow Jews was going to advance their careers, it was not the best career move, because the apostles were persecuted. They were shunned. They were flogged. They were stoned. They were shipwrecked. And all but one of the 12 apostles were executed for their faith. So they must not have had much of a financial interest in this thing, because if a threat came, they'd say, no, never mind, just made it up. Nope, they believed and they witnessed up until they were executed for that belief. Was their testimony clear, consistent, and convincing? Must have been, because shortly after this Acts of the Apostles reading, 3,000 people were baptized. So what they said must have been pretty darn convincing. Did they have a reputation for honesty and trustworthiness? They certainly did. They were preaching in the temple and to other people in season and out. This week, during the week, we read the Acts of the Apostles account of when they were thrown in jail. They came out of jail miraculously. They started preaching right away because they were so convinced that this was the way to know God through his Son for their salvation and the salvation of others. So now it relies upon us to be the witnesses because the apostles aren't around anymore, so far as I know. So it's our job to witness to the faith too, because remember Jesus saying at the end of Matthew's gospel, make disciples of all nations. And that's our job just as much as it was the job of the apostles. So we have to witness to others what the faith means to us. There is no such thing as an entirely private faith, me and God, and that's enough. Me and God, that's important, but it's not enough. We have to witness to others, witness to our Catholic Christian friends and our non-Catholic Christian friends and our non-Christian friends about what the faith means to us. But we also have to be good, credible witnesses. We can't have any personal interest in converting someone. All we can do is plant the seeds, tell them what we've felt, tell them what we've been through, tell them how Christ has acted in our life to change us. Now, maybe we feel like Jesus hasn't done much. I get that, you know. I did it. It wasn't him. But if we pray and reflect, we recognize those times when Jesus has been part of our life. And we can share that with others with no expectation of whether they're going to get converted or they're going to start coming to church or whatever it is. Just witness to them with no personal interest in how it turns out. Our testimony has to be clear and consistent. We have to live the faith inside and out. We have to live it when times are good and when times are bad. That kind of testimony is convincing as the way we live our lives. To have a reputation for being honest and trustworthy, well, we'd better. Our yes better mean yes and our no better mean no, as Jesus taught us. And then people will believe what we say because they may hear us saying things and doing another. And what's the old saying? That the things that you do speak louder than what you say. So we have to live lives that are honest. We have to give testimony that's clear and convincing and no expectation of how it's going to turn out. And we might just be as good a witness as the apostles were, as the apostles who saw what happened. And we read their accounts in the Gospels that inspire us, give us an opportunity for Jesus to touch us in our lives and witness to that working of Jesus in our lives so that others might come to know the joy that we have by being called Catholic Christians. God bless you.